DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Now, as I said, we will have Eamon Ryan with us in studio just about 5:10 this evening to talk about that bombshell news that he is standing down as leader of the Green Party and won't contest the next general election. We'll get analysis of what that means for the political system and also Eamon Ryan's career in just a few moments from Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post, and Sarah Carey, columnist with the Irish Independent. But let's find out what Eamon Ryan had to say just after he informed Cabinet early this afternoon that he was stepping down. He gave a speech outside government buildings where he said he won't be standing at the next election. He will be continuing on as a minister until the process comes to a conclusion to put in a new Green Party leader. But let's find out about what he had to say about the future work the government has to do.
I'll continue as party leader and in my ministerial roles until a new leader is appointed, and look forward to fulfilling whatever role a new leader assigns me for the remaining terms of this government. I have a number of important measures coming to Cabinet in the coming weeks, and we have critical legislation regarding planning and development, the Just Transition Commission and Marine Protected Areas, which we still expect to be enacted, among other pieces of legislation, in the lifetime of this government. We also have a fifth budget to deliver, which has to show the same characteristics of the previous budget in providing the greatest support to those most in need in our society. I am confident this government can go the full term, despite this second change in party leadership. Our coalition was formed with the most detailed programme for government negotiated by the three parties and not just the leadership. Our focus should remain on providing affordable housing, healthcare reform and climate action in the coming months. There would have to be good reason to leave such important work undone.
Now, he went on to outline the toll all that hard work has taken on his family over the years and the effort all the government have put in. But he did go on to say that he would continue to work on climate action and that he would, but that he could not continue to work all of the long hours it would take in the years ahead.
In leaving my leadership role, I will be asking a new generation of young people to take up this honourable public role by joining our party and joining us in meeting and listening to the public when the next election comes, as well as making our case. I will continue to work on climate action, but in a different way. I cannot continue to work the long hours that being a public representative involves, which is why I'm not standing again in the next general election. I have parenting commitments at home, which I also want to serve. We have a son with special needs who also requires my attention. My wife, Victoria White, has been my greatest support and inspiration. I want to thank her and all my family and friends who've been at my side at all times.
As I said, Danny McConnell and Sarah Carey are with us. We'll get to Sarah in just a moment. But Danny, we heard in that speech as well today that Eamon Ryan had said he wasn't informed by the election results doing this, that he had in the previous couple of months let his party colleagues and the people he worked with know. If that was the case, that he had planned to step down, why didn't he do it before the local elections, get a successor in place and give them the run into the locals and eventually the general election?
I think probably if the decision was taken, it was taken probably too close to allow that sort of process to happen and give a new leader enough time or sufficient time to make their, you know, to put their stamp on it. Now, obviously, look, we look what happened with Fine Gael. Simon Harris is in office for, 7 weeks at this stage. Certainly had an impact in terms of changing the narrative around Fine Gael. So it could have been done. He obviously took the decision that it was best to kind of see through the local and European elections with him at the helm and make the decision now with the natural gap between now and the next general election. I think Eamon Ryan, you know, steps down at a very fraught time because obviously there's fallout from the local and European elections. You know, we've seen a lot of bickering between the coalition partners over the last week or two. And I think, you know, if you were to ask the fundamental question, does his departure at this point make the government more stable or less stable? I think it's clear it would make it less stable because, as I said, it's already a pretty febrile atmosphere. And what you're doing is adding another element of uncertainty into that realm. We don't know yet as to who the next leader of the Green Party will be. We know that Eamon Ryan has had very good working relationships with Micheál Martin, who was a previous Taoiseach, and with Simon Harris and Leo Varadkar. Throw another minister or stroke leader into the mix. Does that relationship stay as coherent or stay as stable? It remains to be seen. And we're also at a time when we're seeing the sort of party lines kind of almost coming to the fore. You know, each government party, you know, having done the good work together for the last 4.5 years, now need to start eking out their own identity ahead of a general election. That's when all the trouble starts, and that's when all the bickering and the infighting starts. That's a very dangerous mix for a new leader to be coming into. And it's a tall order. So I don't think there's an awful lot of people who would be thanking Eamon Ryan for leaving at this particular juncture when you've got another general election in the offing so soon.
Sarah Carey, during that speech outside government buildings today, Eamon Ryan listed off quite a lot of the achievements that he has had in politics, in particular over the last 4 years when they have been in government with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, the Nature Restoration Law, which of course came into effect yesterday or was voted yesterday by Europe, the Climate Action Bill from a couple of years ago that we now have locked in, carbon budgets every year. He listed various other testimonials that he has done. Does he leave a good legacy?
He certainly does. And personally, I'd like to say to him that I really admire his integrity and his bravery. People are always saying they want conviction politicians, and he certainly is one of those. I thought the bravest thing he did was after the Green Party was wiped out in the 2011 general election. I think they were left with, what, 2 or 3 councillors. He could have found a safe harbour in an NGO or in many of the climate-related organisations. And instead, he built that party back up from scratch and shows that parties, you know, despite the volatility of the electorates, can come back. And I think that's the real legacy that he shows, that if you believe in something hard enough, you can bring your party back and you can make people, you know, come on your side. So I know they took a kicking in this election, but certainly my perspective is, you know, fundamentally the Greens are right. And all the people who are complaining about cycle lanes and, you know, farmers who aren't happy with them do have to accept the fundamental truth that climate change is the existential challenge. And to the Greens, who perhaps are feeling sore that they're being punished for telling people the truth, well, I think if you pay an electoral price for that, you know, that may happen, but people cannot say they weren't told. So, you know, I think he can be proud of what he has achieved. And I think other politicians, you know, can see a model there. It is a really, really tough profession. I often think of that time he fell asleep when the Dáil was being held down in the National Convention Centre. And he got dogs abused for that. But at that time, they were all working 7 days a week. They were completely exhausted. And people did know he had a special needs child at home. And who knows, he could have been up all night with that child.
Sarah, if this is the biggest issue of our time, why then are the Green Party suffering? Because they surely should be capitalising on this politically, but also the message should be finding a home.
Because people don't want to have to pay the price. They're complaining about cycle lanes. They're complaining about the impacts. True, there are costs. You know, there is the transition to the different way we have to live is impacting on people. So there is a lot of, you know, grievance about that. And change is hard. If you've been living your whole life in a certain way and with entrenched habits, it is hard for someone to tell you, no, you get out of your car, cycle to the train station instead. You know, it's not an easy message that they do have to sell. And I understand that people don't want to listen to it. And there is a lot of debate about how you can ease that transition and the kind of messages that you want to be giving to people. So, for example, a message of hope and a message that we can do this rather than people feeling absolutely crushed. Well, there's nothing they can do about it, so they might as well, you know, keep their habits. So, you know, you can work on the messaging, you can work on the transition, but the core message is still the truth.
Let me just bring in one of our texts here from one of our listeners to 087-4100-102. You should mention the impact of social media trolls on public representatives. It's toxic. I certainly would never dream of being a TD or a councillor. Eamon Ryan seems to have been a particular punchbag for anything the government said or did as a whole. And Danny, before I bring you in on that, he did actually mention that in his speech today, and he went in about what the social media pylons are having to on Irish politics right now.
We've also been the subject of a relentless attack, particularly on social media. It seems at times that we're only subject to coordinated attacks in the comments section following any posts we made. I decided to ignore the worst comments, even when it included vile statements about my own recently deceased father some 5 years ago. But the level of invective has only increased, especially in the last year. And I think it poisons the well of public thinking about our agenda and not just our party. That's one of the reasons why it's so important that we cherish and build strong, impartial and independent media, and that we put the future funding in place so that people can trust that they're getting accurate information on what is happening in our world. You could despair about the future of our democracy if you were just to live in that algorithm-driven, polarising online world. However, I am so hopeful about what is to come next.
Danny, he is right that the Green Party, and he in particular, came in for a lot of criticism, as Sarah mentioned there, that photo that went viral of him appearing to be asleep down in the convention centre when a doll was sitting. But also, was there a case that the Green Party were capable of throwing it at people as well, particularly to for rural independent TDs in Dáil Éireann, talking about during the recent elections that they hope to have a councillor in Kerry and in the Healy Ray countries?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, like in most recent governments, there have been one or two figures who have become the bete noire, the lightning rods for criticism. Shane Ross and the Independent Alliance certainly were the lightning rods for criticism in the last Dáil. Eamon Ryan has certainly become a figure of derision and certainly of criticism for the likes of Matty McGrath, the Healy Rays, as you've mentioned. But also, I mean, he's become a constant recipient of criticism from the likes of Michael O'Leary, the Ryanair chief executive. I mean, he famously called him a dunce. He's, you know, there were Ryanair workers outside government buildings earlier on, you know, kind of lament or not quite lamenting his departure, but certainly making their point in relation to the passenger cap debacle that's going on at Dublin Airport. But the Greens have sort of kind of put it back up to them. I mean, they are ideological driven much more so than lots of other parties. They're true believers in their cause, and it can be very hard to dissuade true believers from the cause that they believe in, even when there's such virulent kind of opposition to it. I don't think they've always gotten it right. I think they stand rightly accused of being very high-handed and somewhat arrogant, and you know they're better than the rest of us, you know, this kind of high moral kind of stance that they often take. But I would agree with Sarah Carey. I think Eamon Ryan is a man of true conviction, and when I was a cub reporter in Leinster House in the 07 to 2011 election or government under Brian Cowan, you know, I covered the Greens an awful lot at that time, and he was a man who always treated me with respect and courtesy, and he was a man who always sought to do his business. And when myself and John Lee wrote our book on that particular period of time, I mean, his intervention was key. And what was one of the key things noted at the time, he was a comprehensive note taker of that entire period. So I wait to the point where he donates his diaries to whatever university he seeks to do so. But he is a man of true conviction, and I think when you saw the sort of tributes that were being paid to him from across the political spectrum today, that he is a man who basically kind of gets and was able to articulate Ireland's climate crisis better than anybody. I think he will be missed at that senior level, and I think he was well respected at European level. You know, we now have a Brussels correspondent, and certainly the sense that we've gotten from there is that Eamon Ryan is not only a respected figure in the Green Party at European level, but within the institutions as well.
Sarah, you mentioned before, back in 2011, the Green Party were wiped out, all their TDs gone. And based on the polls right now, what happened after the local elections, the loss of the two MEPs, having a number of councillors, and if that wipeout was to happen again, what does that say about the message of green policies in Ireland?
Well, look, as I said before, I understand that there are unpalatable truths that people don't want to hear. I think Daniel was right, you know, about the kind of the moralistic approach, you know, that grates on people and that they don't like. So I do think you could work on messaging. However, there is a good fight still to be fought. And I think his message to younger people to join the party, maybe that will land. Maybe, you know, people, when it comes around to a general election, those younger voters might come out and give them a boost. I really, really don't know. I know things do look bad for them at the moment, but, you know, they did come back from nothing before. So no matter how bad it gets this time, they should come back again. So I would say keep at it, keep going.
Sir Kerry, thank you very much for joining us. Danny, just before I let you go, in 30 seconds, who's going to be the new leader and when's the general election going to happen?
I certainly think that Catherine Martin is the clear favourite to become the next leader, given she's the deputy leader at the moment. It's interesting, my understanding is that she wasn't in the country when this announcement was made. So what does that tell you about relations between herself and Eamon Ryan? You might ask him that after 5 o'clock. But it's very hard to look beyond her. I mean, the other candidate been named very quickly is Roderick O'Gorman, but he's an academic, and whether or not there's some suggestion that his seat is somewhat in difficulty in Dublin West. So whether or not he has a realistic chance, pretty much nobody else at national level would be in the running, I would think, as of now. So it's Catherine Martin's to lose. She's gone and stood for the leadership on occasion in the past, so therefore one would anticipate her appetite is there to succeed Eamon Ryan from now. In terms of the general election, they keep talking about March, but I cannot see beyond October, November of this year. You know, the adage that a lot of people have said that, you know, Leave Records call that they should do it before the clocks go back is one that I would certainly concur with.
Danny McConnell from the Business Post, and before that, Sarah Carey from the Irish Independent. Thank you very much for joining us, and you're welcome back to The Last Word. So let's continue with our coverage of that news today, that Eamon Ryan is stepping down as leader of the Green Party, and the breaking news in the last half hour that his deputy, Catherine Martin, will not be seeking to replace him, and she will resign as deputy leader. So what does that mean for the coalition over the next couple of months? Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at the School of Law and Government at DCU, and Aisling Maloney, political correspondent for the Daily Mail, are with us. Aisling, I bet you thought it was going to be a very quiet week in politics. We had that announcement from Eamon Ryan. He said to me just a few moments ago he was stepping down. But what's happening in the Green Party now with Catherine Martin?
Well, I don't think there's been a quiet week in politics in many, many months now, Ian. We had obviously former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar stepping down in a similar shock fashion, and obviously only off the back of the Lochlann general elections this week. Will us hard working hacks ever get a day off? I'm sure people are laughing listening to that. But look, I suppose today was quite a shock. There wasn't any rumblings about this, Ian, going on in the last couple of weeks. I suppose people have been caught up with the elections, and I suppose the timing of it is quite interesting. Definitely echoes of the former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and former leader Fine Gael stepping down. So yeah, Eamon Ryan today, the leader of the Green Party, who's been the long-time leader of the Green Party since 2011, has announced he is stepping down as leader, and he is willing to keep serving in cabinet should the next leader of the Green Party deem him to continue to do so, but he's still the Minister for the Environment as of this moment. But yes, a contest in the Green Party will now ensue, and very interestingly, the Deputy Leader of the Green Party, Catherine Martin, and the second, I suppose, who is also the longest...
Who challenged him back in 2020 for the leadership.
Yes, exactly. So in 2020, after the general election, the constitution of the Green Party says they have to have a leadership contest, and they did. Catherine Martin came very, very close to... becoming leader in that charge, but didn't quite get over the line. She was only, herself and Eamon Ryan were the only two TDs back in the Dáil in 2016 after wipeout in 2011. So she gained a seat in 2016 and Eamon Ryan got back his seat. So they're the two longest serving in the current Dáil. And the rest of the Green Party then are all new first-time, first-term TDs. I mean, after 4 years in government, you'd hardly say new, but they are all relatively new in that way. So you have the Minister for Integration, Roderick O'Gorman. He's the kind of next highest ranking, if you go by government, in the party. Then you have Senator Pippa Hackett, who's a Minister of State. You have TD Joe O'Brien. You have Oisín Smith serving as Ministers of State as well. You have Minister Malcolm Noonan, a Minister of State as well. Now, he already challenged for the leadership back when Eamon Ryan did. So it's looking like it could be potentially, there's no confirmations yet of who is gunning for the leadership role. As we know, Catherine Martin is not putting her in a hat in the ring. She is continuing to be a TD and does want to continue. She wants to run for the next general election, unlike Eamon Ryan, who we learned today is stepping down as leader, and he's stepping away from Dublin Bay South, which will be very good news to the Labour leader Ivana Bacic, who's also in that area, who got in the by-election, of course, in 2021. So it'll be good news for her, because I think they're kind of in the same territory in terms of left-wing parties in the leafy suburbs of Dublin for, and will be
a battle of Ranelagh. Let me bring in Gary Murphy from DCU. Gary, when I spoke to Eamon Ryan a few moments ago, he tried to put the best gloss on the local elections and wouldn't give a guess as to how many of those TDs come back. But where do you think the Labour Party, the Green Party's fortunes are?
Yeah, I heard him on with you, Ian, and notwithstanding his relatively upbeat nature about the Green Party's prospects, I think this is an existential crisis. Not putting it any more strongly than that, for the Green Party. So they're going to go into the next election with an untested new leader. Their two safest seats are in Dublin Bay South with Eamon Ryan, who, remember, topped the poll, was elected on the first count in 2020. Now, that seat would have to be at grave risk. They ran Clare Byrne in the by-election that Aisling just mentioned. They might run Hazel Chu, who's quite popular in that area, did very well in the local elections. But that's going to be a tough fight to hold that seat. Catherine Martin, I mean, it is the crisis is because the obvious candidate to replace Eamon Ryan has rather inexplicably ruled herself out. I mean, she was desperate to be leader in 2020. That's the only conclusion any sane observer could take when she challenged him then in the midst of the Greens' negotiations to join the government. And remember, he had led them to their best ever ever performance in the 2020 general election. So that seemed a bit odd at the time, and I'm afraid I think this is even odder. So, yeah, I think I'm pretty down on the Greens and their chances come the next election, because if you look at the, as you mentioned, the two MEP losses, the halving of their vote in local elections, and the fact that I would say there's not a safe Green seat in the country, including whoever takes over from Eamon Ryan, and I think the prospects are 2011.
Gary, if you were Simon Harris and Micheál Martin and you had a little conversation with them, would you be saying, go now, the Greens are going to lose a lot of seats if they come back with Annie, and sure, you can pick up a third party from amongst the people across the aisle in either the Social Democrats or the Labour Party?
Well, I wouldn't be saying go now, but I certainly would be thinking very strongly about going after the budget. I wasn't terribly convinced by Michael McGrath's comments during the week that it was there wasn't really enough room to bring the budget forward. Politically, there's always room to do things, and there certainly would be room to bring the budget forward if the government was so wish to do so. But to be fair to Eamon Ryan, what I think his leadership of the Green Party shows is that if you get into government, you can get things done. And I think there is a lesson there for people like Holly Kearns of the Social Democrats and Ivana Bacik of the Labour Party, that if you want to get things done, you've got to be in government. And that is the lesson and maybe the legacy of Eamon Ryan. And he talked to you about it, Ian. Nature restoration, climate act, carbon tax, cycle lanes, rural transport, all these things are done because the Greens were in power to an extent as part of that coalition, and were able to do things. And I think that's the lesson for any politician, that if you want things done, you know, the government benches are the places to do that.
Aisling Maloney, if you were Simon Harris and again Micheál Martin, is the thinking now, let the Greens do what they have to do, but as quickly as we can, let's pull the plug on this and then come together afterwards and see who's around?
Well, I suppose pulling the plug on it would insinuate that it's going to happen in a couple of weeks, and you're talking about a general election during the summer, which I don't think is likely. But as Gary said there, what's more likely is potentially after the budget, and I suppose how swiftly you can get a budget through. That's all being talked about in government circles at the moment, with people focused, and definitely those, I suppose, on the next rung of the ladder after Simon Harris and Micheál Martin, certainly pushing, it seems, for that October-November election. But it doesn't seem, I suppose, that the Taoiseach or Taoiseach have given away anything in terms of their own thinking on this quite yet. Of course, I mean, look, the Green Party are the smaller party in government. I'm sure the coalition colleagues will let them kind of sort themselves out with this contest for leader. Potentially, if it is a contest, it could be a one horse race. They could sort it out amongst themselves. There's not that many of them in.
Do we know how long it's going to take?
It's unclear yet. I mean, party headquarters are discussing this afternoon, as we know, I suppose, with the Fine Gael contest. It ended up being a one-horse race, and there was a timing set out, a time frame. So it's not clear yet, I suppose, where that will stand, given if there are multiple candidates or if there's just one person who puts themselves forward. And I suppose, as Gary said there, when the Greens are in probably a precarious position electorally, maybe the party will come together and say, look, are we better off kind of answering this question quickly, getting somebody in situ, giving them the time to get embedded and prove themselves? And also, I suppose, the fact that Eamon Ryan has said that he is willing to serve in cabinet, but is also going to leave that up to the next minister, you would expect potentially that the next Green Party leader might take the position that it's better to start putting people into cabinet who need a profile boost, essentially, ahead of the next general election, in order to give someone more responsibility, get their profile up, and give them, I suppose, more responsibility ahead of the next election. So, look, I mean, as I say, Eamon Ryan said he's willing to serve, but as we saw with the changeover with Simon Harris, Simon Coveney didn't come back in the next cabinet, and potentially that's what we might see here. It would be an interesting, I think, decision to keep Eamon Ryan on, although maybe for continuity purposes. And I suppose this whole message that the Green Party has, which Gary was talking about there, about the fact that when you're in government, you get things done. And I suppose people do know from what we've seen in the last 4 years is that when you vote Green, they have no qualms about going into government. And
no qualms, but I just want to bring Gary in on this. No qualms about going into government, but it costs them, Gary. And that's the problem. We like the idea of going green, but we don't like the cost of it.
Yeah, that's true, Ian. I think the issue with the Greens is it's clearly a long-term, life-affirming project for them. In 2011, it looked like they would never be in power in the Republic again, and yet within a decade, they were back with their best ever result and have certainly made a difference in how this government has operated and what it has achieved. The key question now on leadership, I mean, if Roger Gorman was to be the leader, you could imagine the two ministers, Martin and Eamon Ryan, staying on. But if it wasn't to be him, you would imagine the new leader would then want to have a place in cabinet themselves. So that would entail a reshuffle. And then you would have the scenario where Simon Harris might say, good polls, a reasonable day out at the local and European elections, Sinn Féin in trouble. And notwithstanding Eamon Ryan's point about that, the electorate won't take kindly to an early election. The electorate will take whatever lessons it wants to take. And a scenario where the government says re-elect us or re-elect parts of us would certainly, I think, be a reason to go to the country. So I would say today's sort of events, I think, bring a general election much closer now, Ian.
Okay, Gary Murphy and Aisling Maloney, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper, weekdays from 4:30. Today.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.